This is the sermon preached at St. Paul's Anglican Church in Athens on the feast of the baptism of Christ, January the 9th, 2022. Happy New Year, by the way. And the readings are Isaiah 43, 1-7, Acts 8, 14-17, and Luke 3, 15-17, and 21-22. During these few weeks, we're required to have a degree of, and maybe a degree in, liturgical dexterity. What do I mean? The feast days that we celebrate over the 40 days from the time of the Nativity or the birth of our Lord jump backwards and forwards and don't follow the chronology of Christ's life, which I'm sure we would all feel more comfortable with. 2 weeks ago, we were in the cave with its stable canopy, with a newborn baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes. This was a real earthy type of event, surrounded by animal noise and smell, straw and a complete lack of dignity and glory, as we would normally understand it. The birth of a king would normally be in a different location and with different, more luminary circumstances. That's more what we would expect. St. Gregory Palamas, in one of his homilies, says this: however great the heaven of heavens may be, or the upper waters which form a roof over the celestial regions, or any heavenly place, state, or order, they are no more marvellous or honourable than the cave, the manger, the water sprinkled on the infant in his swaddling clothes. For nothing done by God from the beginning of time was more beneficial to all or more divine than Christ's nativity. This is nonetheless where we find ourselves in this narrative, in a cave with a baby. But today, the baptism of Christ, we find ourselves elsewhere. We're no longer in the company of the infant, visited by shepherds first, then on what we call Epiphany, visited also by Eastern potentates. But we find ourselves instead in the company of an adult Jesus, and in place of the earthliness, we are by the waters of the River Jordan. And we are told of the baptism of Jesus by the other great character of this narrative, John the Baptizer. No simple baptism administered by John is related to us, but rather, in this baptism, there is a divine theophany, a revelation of God. John may have poured the Jordan waters over Christ, but the divine presence imprints itself, and Jesus is declared the Son of God, the one on whom nothing less than God's favour rests upon. This great feast of divine revelation, baptism, has been missing from the Anglican calendar until it was properly re-established in the liturgical reforms of the year 2000. And now it has a vital place in this season of the revelation of God's glory. So we have moved quickly from the babe to the grown-up, and for a few weeks we will read in our Sunday Gospels events that further reveal the divine in the humanity of Christ, a season of transfigurations. Water becomes wine at a wedding feast. The sick and the suffering are restored to wholeness. People in brokenness and social isolation are reconciled. We get a head of steam. Then, suddenly, we're in the company of the infant Jesus yet again. For 40 days after his birth, this Jewish infant is brought to the temple according to the custom of the Jews, according to the law, just as he had been circumcised 8 days after his birth. You see what I mean about the dexterity needed to keep up at this season of the year, where we have to move with alacrity between the infancy narrative and those gospel-related events where God reveals his glory through his only begotten Son. The baptism of Christ is a prefigurement of our own baptism. Yet there is a temptation, perhaps, to dwell too much on the physical side of using water in baptism, essential though it is, and to forget that at the baptism of Jesus something much more significant takes place. In this baptism administered by John in the river, we are shown the presence of the Holy Trinity. The Father is in the form of the voice, the Son is in the physical presence of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is experienced in some way that can only be expressed as being like the presence of a dove. When each of us is baptized, we are baptized into the name of this same Holy Trinity. It may seem strange to us, but we are entering through baptism into the divine name, being absorbed into the divine being, and living within the dynamic life of the Holy Trinity. This is one of the paradoxes of the reality of our faith. Our humanity is absorbed into the divine life. We are at one and the same time in the real world of creation, and we live in the real world of the Spirit. Both are real, and neither are separated one from the other. John says, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Note that this time the Holy Spirit is likened to fire, such as was experienced at Pentecost. So in baptism, we as humans are invited into the divine way of life. We're not baptized into a club. We're baptized into the Holy Church of Jesus Christ, which is his body, his mystical body, to share in, participate in the divine life, which is the will of God for his people. God wills us to be one with him. In the blessing that we use at Christmas, we hear the words, "Christ, who by his incarnation gathered into one things earthly and heavenly, fill you with peace and goodwill, and make you partakers of the divine nature." And the blessing for Epiphany, "Christ, the Son of God, perfect in you the image of his glory, and gladden your hearts with the good news of his kingdom." It's easy to let these lovely words wash over us, but stop and think. Partakers in the divine image, and perfect in you the image. In baptism, God is saying to us, as he says through the prophet Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for glory, whom I formed and made." In our faith, we jump backwards and forwards, from the baby to the man, from the manger to the river, from the crib to the cross, from the swaddling clothes to the funeral shroud, from the birth of the only begotten Son of God to his death, from his baptism in the River Jordan, looking ahead to him passing through the deep waters of death to new and resurrected life. All of it is the story of our salvation, brought about by the beloved Son in whom God is well pleased. Amen.